All right, everybody. Welcome to this next episode of the Renegade HPG podcast. My guest today is Nick Jansma, and Nick is the founder, I think creator, senior editor for Sarna.net, the BattleTech wiki, and which is a resource that I frequently use, especially with all the kind of my little kind of side hobby now with creating custom cards for the trading card game. I'm on there daily, you know, maybe not daily every year, but it's an amazing resource. It's so comprehensive. And so we're going to be talking to Nick a little bit today about the origin of that, kind of, you know, what's gone into it, you know, the kind of aspects of contributing, what the community can do to kind of help facilitate that and grow it and support it. And with that, I will go ahead and kind of open it up. So Nick, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. I'm excited for all the effort they've been putting into this podcast and videos lately. It's awesome to see other bits of history and people talking about their passion. And, you know, it's great to be part of the BattleTech community in general. And I think everybody here is, you know, it's fun. It's fantastic. And we're doing what we can right now at this point of 2020 to still have fun and still try to do what we can, you know.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, the BattleTech community is such kind of a supportive community. I mean, my geekdom doesn't end at BattleTech, and there's lots of communities out there, and some of them are more kind of, you know, unicorns and rainbows than others, if you want to put it that way. But the BattleTech, certainly the Facebook groups, there's over abundance of positivity there. So it's a great community to be involved with.
And it's just amazing too how long BattleTech as a franchise has survived, and how it's evolved and grown and shrunk and then grown, and you know, like all that over the years too. And I've made a lot of friends just from meeting other people that are passionate about BattleTech through the website, through Gen Con, through you know, BattleTech groups and stuff like that. And so it's cool to be a part of a community that's so passionate about a fun game and the history behind it. You know, it's obviously a huge driver of that as well.
Well, you know, certainly the Sarna is a great resource for learning about that that history. You know, tell us a little bit about kind of what inspired it and what the kind of origin story is for this.
Yeah, so I got into BattleTech, I think, when I was like, say 10 years old or so. Mm-hmm. I live in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and my parents would take us to Chicagoland for trips, you know, multiple times a year because it's the closest big city to us. And in Chicago, they had the virtual world cockpits at North Pier, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was my first introduction to BattleTech. You know, we were shopping there at the mall there one day, and I was like, what is that crazy futuristic looking room on the top floor? And my parents took me there, and it was like a ginormous video game that you could get into. And so, you know, 10-year-old me was like totally into it, you know, big snobby robots and, you know, playing video games. So I think I convinced my dad to do it with me, and we got in the cockpits, and I swear every time we would take a trip to Chicago afterward, like that had to be the center of the trip, you know, like convince my parents that that was the thing to do. Eventually I noticed that they had a board game. You know, I think it was like in, you know, like the checkout shelf, like they had the miniatures set up, probably third edition would be my guess. Okay. Around then. And so eventually I convinced my mom, I think, to get BattleTech for me for my birthday or Christmas or something. And, you know, opened it up and just loved it. You know, I'm a engineer by trade, a math nerd. And so, you know, all the, you know, rolling, dice rolling and stats and everything and building mechs was a lot of fun. Around then, I think by the age I was like 12, I was really getting into computers. And BattleTech was the first, was the inspiration for me to write a web page, if you will. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember geocities.com back in the day.
Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was a easy way for people to have, you know, very simple HTML-based web pages that, you know, we didn't have to pay for. I think it was free, assuming it's free. And so I had, my address, I think, was Times Square 3058, was the, I picked 3058 because I think that was around the era of the day. And it was Slayer's BattleTech page back then. And I think I mostly just collected like links and downloads. And I had my own like, you know, backstory for a mercenary unit that I created or something on there. And it started out that way and grew over time. And, you know, as I experimented more with, you know, building my pages and stuff, it kind of grew from there. Eventually it grew enough and I figured out I could buy my own domain name. And so, I'm a big like map nerd as well. So Objective Raids was one of my favorite source books.
Yep.
Just with all the different planets, and I just loved reading about them and imagining the universe. And for whatever reason, the Sarna planet stuck out in my mind. And I, you know, so I picked Sarna.net as the domain name for it. Picked out a host. You know, it was probably pretty cheap. I was, you know, 12 years old, so probably like $10 a month or something like that. Moved all my content onto there, and you know, over time, just kind of built Sarna up around. It was just me at the time. It wasn't a wiki yet. It was me, you know, editing HTML content and collecting as much files as I could, and having a download section. And I think I had some support from other members of the community that were hosting some of the files that I would link to and stuff like that. So that was kind of the first, I think, 12 years of it, I think. It was just, you know, a personal homepage for collecting stuff. That was like related in.
And to confirm, you're doing all this when you're 12 years old?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I got computers back then, and it was, you know, a way to combine my passion for gaming, BattleTech, and, you know, learning software engineering. Awesome. So, you know, I mean, mind you, a 12-year-old writing an HTML page is not that, it wasn't that expansive, and it was very beginnings of the internet. So a lot of it was just text, you know, it was a way to write and then link between things and collect links on the internet and all that kind of thing.
Well, people that aren't our age might not remember that that's what websites were back in that day. It was text and links, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of graphics. You know, maybe you got a low res picture on there every once in a while.
But I'm confident I stole images from other websites at the time. Yeah. I mean, like that's what you did. You found other pictures on the internet and you just put them on your page, definitely. You know,
I still do that.
Right. Exactly. you know, I grew up, obviously. My interest in BattleTech went up and down. I had gone to quite a few Gen Cons when I was, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. I think back when it was in the, was it Milwaukee area? I think they had it there for a couple of years before they moved to Indianapolis. And so I was, you know, involved in the community and had a lot of fun gaming. Didn't really have a ton of people in my community that wanted to play BattleTech, but I found some opportunities here and there. And then went to college, and you know, towards the end of college, I decided, well, you know, wikis are pretty cool. Why don't I just convert this Sarna.net domain into a wiki, and then more people can contribute it? Because at that point, you know, I had other focuses. I was trying to graduate and, you know, move up in life. But I still wanted it to be a resource. So I'm using the Media Wiki software, which is the same software that runs Wikipedia. I basically started out fresh and then tried to re-import all of the like personal stuff I had written. And I auto-generated some, you know, planet listings from other databases and stuff like that, just kind of as a seed to get the wiki started. From there, I mean, honestly, it's all a community. We have an amazing number of people that read it. We have an amazing number of people that make small edits, and we have an amazing number of people that like really, really contribute to the wiki with tens of thousands or nearly hundreds of thousands of edits. So, you know, this year we actually just recently crossed the 30,000 articles threshold. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of actual edits of pages per year. It comes from all over. You know, those are big edits from people that are really passionate about a particular topic, and those are small edits from people fixing, you know, spelling or grammar and stuff like that. And that's how it's grown. I'm the facilitator of keeping the web server running at this point. I don't do much actual content contributions just because of my time. My focus is more on keeping it up running and smooth and fast and fighting spam, which is a big part of my job, getting rid of all the crud and all the, you know, bots that try to also attack it as well. At this point I mostly consider myself the administrator of the site, and respond to whatever the community needs. And You know, if we need new plugins installed to help with things, if we need to, you know, fight bots. In fact, there's a, looks like there's a bot user account creation attack going on right now that I got to figure out how to deal with.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I mean, that's what you get when you have a site that has a decent number of content and traffic is, you know, all the malicious things out there try to attack it as well. But it's nothing that we can't deal with.
Yeah. And so for people interested that haven't contributed, what's kind of the basic, you know, 101 first steps, you know, of ways that you can contribute, you know, and then kind of, you know, the areas of need, you know, the places that, you know, really help.
Well, it's so you can actually you can make edits anonymously if you would like. So there's, you know, there's a limitation to what you can do if you don't log in. You know, you can't post links and stuff like that. But you are allowed to make small edits here and there, especially for grammar and other stuff. Those edits are patrolled or watched by other editors just to make sure they look good and are reasonable.
Yeah.
But if you really want, it's best to create an account, which is free, obviously. There's a big create account button on the upper right of the wiki. You just need your email and, you know, pick a username. And from there, you know, it really is up to whatever you're passionate about. I mean, we have, from what I can tell, most people have like a very particular category or thing they're interested in, whether it's working on all the planets, which that's actually one of the few projects I still try to help with, is cleaning up a lot of the planet pages, to, you know, working on all the battle mechs, incorporating new content as source books get released. You know, there's pages to be edited and content to be added. You know, there's all sorts of ways to help out. If there's things that you want to add, by all means. If there's just things that bug you, or like the article needs a little bit of fluff added, or, you know, some expansion, that's great too. You know, we try to have references for most of the content that we bring in. So that's a big thing that you see at every article on the bottom, is all the references on the page.
Yeah.
Makes the article stronger and also, you know, leads you to the right, to the original content. You know, if you really want to buy that source book or PDF for it or whatever, those are good ways to know where to get more details besides what the editors have written. And yeah, you know, each article itself usually has a discussion page. So it's kind of the second tab on the upper left. And that can, so there you can kind of talk about the article or propose things that you want to change if you want, and kind of see what the feedback is on that. So that's a good way to kind of like try out your ideas first, if right. you will. You do have to write in the Media Wiki format, which is a text-based format with special syntax for linking to things and, you know, making things bold or italic or whatever. It's pretty straightforward to do, and there's also a visual editor that you can use that helps a little bit with it. But it's mostly just words. I mean, that's the majority of the site is words and, you know, images that people upload here and there. So yeah, and, you know, we also have a forums where you can ask questions, or, you know, again, on the discussion pages, or even on your own personal user talk page. I have a talk page is kind of like a sub forum for each user for discussing whatever they want. And mine is, you know, anybody's welcome to reach out if they have questions or if they have, you know, concerns about bots attacking on the site that they want to point me to. And there's also a Ask a Moderator page as well if you have questions. So, you know, it's relatively straightforward, and, you know, we're happy to help anybody that's interested get started. You know, we have hundreds of people a year that help contribute. Some years are more popular than others. That kind of depends on the popularity of, you know, the board game or whatever other video games are coming out, whether, you know, traffic and contributions go up or down, but that's part of the fun too.
Now, are there any kind of, you know, important protocols, you know, that's kind of new users come up, just kind of, you know, do's and don'ts, or kind of, you know, kind of ways to fit in there, you know, certainly for people coming in new, the kind that are there, you know, kind of afraid of kind of,
right.
you know, rubbing the establishment the wrong way, you know, and, you know, as we know, as you know, geeks in a world of geeks, you know, we're pretty particular about things. And
right, exactly.
It's easy to ruffle feathers, you know, as I know from all my my custom cards that I've been making. But
yeah.
Any kind of, you know, basic tips there of just, you know, is it best to, like, for instance, go to that discussion page and just propose the edits before actually starting to plug in edits? Or, you know, is it depend on the situation?
That's a good question. I would say it kind of depends on the scope of what you're proposing. If if you're just making a spelling fix or a grammatical fix, probably just go ahead and make that fix. And you know, if anybody has any reason to have concerns about it, you know, we can easily undo things. Like, there's buttons to undo edits. In you know, kind of like the bad actor scenario, we can do that pretty quickly if we need. But in general, like, I would say start small. If try a couple just obvious edits of things, just to kind of get the feel of how the wiki software works, you know, making changes, saving them. There's a way to put a comment on what change you're making, just so in the change log, people can see kind of what area you were changing. For bigger, if you want to, like, completely change the layout of the article or tone or something like that, or if you have concerns about existing content and, like, where it came from, or you think something's wrong, that's a good place for the discussion page. And you can you know, create a new article right there or add on to the existing discussions. And you know, a lot of people pay attention to those and can help out with them.
What are kind of the weak points in the site where, you know, maybe the, you know, you said everybody gravitates towards where they have the most interest, and I'm sure, right, you know, there's that they tend to go in the same direction, you know, kind of are the places that, you know, you'd like to kind of throw out there for people saying, like, we could use a little more attention here.
Well, yeah. So there is, there's a couple different, tags that you can add to pages. Some of the tags are article needs attention, or article needs like references or citations, or, you know, for different articles that we often put a moratorium on new content from new source books for a couple months to make sure that, you know, we're not just copy and pasting all the stuff out of a brand new source book and taking away actual sales of these books from you know, from Catalyst and stuff.
Right.
So there's articles have usually a tag at the top of them, and sometimes you'll see like a big yellow or big red kind of bar across the top. And that's just that's just a good way to know that, hey, this, you know, somebody thought that this could use a little bit of improvement here or there. In fact, there's a category page where you can see the list of all articles that need those kinds of attentions to details and stuff. We have a whole getting started guide and like FAQ as well, linked directly from the front, from the homepage. So if there's any questions at all, or, you know, if somebody just doesn't see anything obvious, we can easily point them to, well, you know, here, why don't you go take this and see if you can make a couple, you know, grammatical fixes to it or help out, that kind of thing.
And what's that line that you try to establish between, you know, kind of, you know, that cut and paste and, you know, offending Catalyst or something by putting information out there that people can buy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we exist because Catalyst is still putting out great product, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to support them as much as we can. And, you know, they support us too. You know, they're very positive about the wiki. They use it frequently or send their authors or artists to it to do research as well, right? So we're a community resource that, you know, helps with them as well. So we, you know, as far as like incorporating new content, like, we certainly want people to write in their own voice. So, you know, use whatever inspiration that you have and reference to it to support your claims. But it's best if we have individual voices talking and writing on their own. All of the content does get incorporated under the GNU FDL, which is a free license. So you are kind of, you know, giving over your words to that license when you contribute it to the wiki.
Yeah.
And other people can then use that content as well, if they choose. It's best to write in whatever, you know, voice or style that you feel comfortable, but still, you know, being true to the content that you're trying to talk about.
Yeah. And then, you know, in other ways, kind of more, more I guess, financial, you know, ways that people contribute. You know, do you guys have Patreons? Do you have guys have donors? Or are there ways that people can kind of help support the project and cover your expenses?
No, I appreciate you asking about that. So Sarna is supported in a couple of different ways. The most obvious way that you will see is advertising when you go to it, right? We usually have a banner on top, one or two banners on the right-hand side. We use a advertising network called Network N, and they are a gaming focused network. So hopefully some of the content is relevant, the ads, you know, to you know, more gaming interests. I don't want to just slather the page with ads, because I, you know, find that disturbing on my own, and that slows down the site and everything else. And I understand that some people browse with ad blockers. You know, I browse other websites with ad blockers on, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I understand that. I understand why. So if you are browsing Sarna with an ad blocker, there is like a little notification that pops up if we detect that. That says, hey, we've seen that you are using an ad blocker. There's other ways to support us if you'd like. Otherwise, you can hide this message. And so that's very unobtrusive. Those other ways are, we actually do have at the bottom of the page, there is a support Sarna link. And we kind of go over how Sarna is supported. You know, there are different ways that we keep the website running, obviously through the advertising. There's merchandise you can purchase. Most of it is t-shirts and like hoodies and stuff that
I see one right there. Yeah, exactly. Show off for everyone. There
you go. Awesome. So, you know, it's, they're, you know, very comfortable cotton poly t-shirts, direct from Amazon. You know, it's some third party merchandising company that, you know, basically uploaded the logo to. I get a small cut for every shirt that you get, a couple bucks, not a lot. But you know, I like just wearing them, right? They're very comfortable. I wear the hoodie all the time, and when it's winter time, and usually when we were having Gen Cons, I usually bring a bunch of the t-shirts and give them out to people too, just because it's fun to see other people wearing them as well. So merchandise is backed up. We don't offer it on, but you know, if there's anyone that you know you like, by all means. And then we do have a link for PayPal support, PayPal donations as well. You know, anything that you want to contribute is great. If you don't want, that's fine. I do try to list the first names of everybody that's contributed over PayPal onto the donations page, just as a special thank you. And that's it. You know, with that, we're able to, the site is running. It also lives on the back of some of my other websites that I run. So it's sharing the same hardware and network software and stuff. So I'm able to keep it going at this point pretty easily just through the advertising. Yeah. So we certainly appreciate the support. There's not a lot of costs to running the site other than the hosting. We do have a news section. I don't know if you've read much of the news articles or if you've subscribed to that at all. We have a great staff writer.
Yeah, I found the link to the Virtual World documentary, which I'm slowly making it through now, which is, you know, as someone who posts on YouTube,
yeah,
they need to address the name of that video, because there is no way anyone's going to find right. that outside of Sarna.
Well, and that's why we link to it too, right? Yeah, awesome. Get rivals at it. We have a great writer right now, Sean. Mm-hmm. We've had other writers in the past, and they've all been fantastic. You know, it's a contractual basis. I do pay people that want to write about BattleTech. Sean's been doing an amazing job lately collecting, you know, monthly news links and doing more in-depth interviews and articles and stuff like that. So just a shout out there. If anybody else is interested in writing about BattleTech, just go ahead and contact me. I do it. I pay for it because I love hearing about it. I love all the stuff that's going on out there. And I think it's a great way to kind of get it into one place for anybody that wants to subscribe via, you know, their RSS feed or via Facebook. We post all the stuff on Facebook as well, just to keep up to date with what's going on in general in BattleTech and MechWarrior and all that kind of stuff. Those are the main ways, honestly, just visiting the site, viewing the ads, seeing the ads, if anything interests you, if you want to support financially, that's fine. We also in the support page, we do tell you a way to turn off ads permanently for the site if you prefer. I'm okay with that. For whatever reason, if you don't like seeing them or if it's slowing you down, there's easy ways to turn them off as well. So, yeah, and honestly, like the community has done a really good job always supporting us. It's we're going on year, let's see, it was 96 ish, so year 24 for Sarna at this point, which is awesome. You know, and it's been supported in different ways throughout the years, and at this point it's running pretty smoothly, I guess I would say. You know, just admitting the site here and there when I can, and keeping it up and running. There's downtime every once in a while. I'm sorry, like I'm just one dude, so every once in a while it goes down, but I try to minimize that as much as possible.
Well, you had mentioned the shirts, and I'd actually been kind of, you know, entertaining, you know, trying to get some Renegade HPG shirts and just doing some BattleTech shirts. What, you know, kind of for my own interest, and maybe if anyone else out there is interested, you know, what are the lines between you can make this shirt of BattleTech versus here you're doing trademark infringement, you know, when you're kind of designing and selling those.
It's a blurry line to cross too, man. You know, it's safest if you are using your own artwork or derivation of your own artwork, your own logos, just to, you know, kind of share, you know, your IP rather than potentially somebody else's IP that we know of.
Right.
Right. And it's not, and I'm not necessarily talking about Kettles here, right? Tops owns the top level IP for a lot of this stuff lately. And, you know, they want to and need to enforce their trademarks and everything. So it's best to, I'm not a lawyer. it's best to just, you know, stay on the safer side of things.
Yeah. So. And do you, when you had your merchandise, did you ping Catalyst and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Is it okay? Or,
you know,
just
kind of I'm good friends with a lot of people over there. And so it's reasonable to reach out. They may not be able to give you permission, but they may be able to give you some guidance on what you can and can't do. Gotcha. They are, you know, they're very friendly people, right? In fact, one of the reasons I got back into BattleTech after my own dark ages, if you will, coinciding with the BattleTech dark ages, was when I was out living out in Seattle for a couple of years. I was working at Microsoft out there out of college, and that's you know, the area that Catalyst is headquartered. Brett Evans reached out because he had been using the site for his own research and for some of his own artists. And, you know, as a result, I was able to actually, you know, play BattleTech with him for several years when I was living out there. I just kind of built up that relationship. And, you know, there's a lot of great people that work at the company, and, you know, it's very diverse, and there's a lot of contractors, but, you know, they're all trying to just do their best to help the game survive and thrive. They're good people. They're definitely good people.
So how often do you actually get to play these days?
Well, over the last few years, so I was living out in Seattle, now I'm back in Michigan, closer to home where I grew up. I don't have many friends out here that play BattleTech. I've convinced them a couple times, but not very often. I was using Gen Con as my, like, once a year really play BattleTech experience, and obviously this year I was not able to. Play other, you know, play the MechWarrior Online, MechWarrior 5, BattleTech, that kind of stuff in the meantime. But, you know, it's just not the same as actually getting out your minis and shooting around, rolling some dice.
What a kind of as a kind of administrator and contributor, what are some little niches in Sarna that you recommend people explore? You know, what are some of the fun stuff?
Yeah, I'll tell you about one of my passions lately, which is so we have different projects, and projects are kind of just like a high level banner for anybody interested in certain things. One of the projects lately I've been working on is the Planets project. You know, I had mentioned before how I've always loved maps and that kind of stuff. So there's been some really cool work by a gentleman named goes by Grus, and along with Volt, they have come up with a more up-to-date database of all of the coordinates for all the planets and their ownership history in pretty much every year that you can think of.
Yeah,
especially as they even transition between different points in the year. And so what we're doing, what we've been doing, is revamping the Project Planets, all the different planet web pages, articles that you can see, with new images. So newly rendered drawings of the surrounding areas, all the planets that you could jump to, stuff like that. I'll tell you, the previous images were images that I generated back in 2006 or so. Very, very simple, plots on a map. And these new images are gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. SVG images that look fantastic. So if you take any individual planet and go there, you will see the sum of that work right now. And what we're going to be also working on is kind of a visual way of seeing how that planet and its neighbors changed over the years. So from being able to click, in 3025 and then onward, and see kind of like the visual progression of how planets changed and wars were won and lost and ownership changes and that kind of stuff. So that's one of my, one of my favorite areas right now, just kind of keeping those up to date and fixing all the coordinates and, jump neighbors and everything on those planets. Other ones are, certainly all of the actual mech and vehicle and unit pages, filling in all the different variants that people know of, and what differs between them, that kind of thing. And then, a lot of people love writing about particular factions, right? So whether it's clan or Innosphere or mercenary or what have you, there's plenty of places that those have details, all the different units that they're part of them, and the unit histories and the commanders, and everything. So there's, you go to any one page on Sarna and there's probably 20 to 100 different links to other things on it, right? Yeah. And you can easily go down the rabbit hole, as you and I probably have quite a few times, of clicking around and finding the next little subsection of niche stuff to look at.
Definitely. So rough estimate, how many planets are in the inner sphere?
Oh, I can give you not just the rough estimate, I can give you the exact amount.
Excellent. All right, let's do a little trivia here. I'm curious.
Oh, man. Let's see.
Yeah, I tell you, the maps is one place that Battletech does not disappoint. It's looking forward to the new ones that are coming out. And actually, this is a project that I've had kind of in my mind that you might be interested in as well, as if I could find someone. I've seen those videos on YouTube where they basically track like civilization, through the years. Yep. And it's basically this running thing in the timeline. If somebody with the expertise, could do that for Battletech and basically just start with year, whatever, I think it was, 2020, when was the Tyranny for Cheetah, 21 something. So start at that year and then just, have it running and have it expanding and then have the color coding where the planets are changing factions.
Yep.
And it'd probably be like a 15-minute video, but it'd be amazing. And it is so far beyond my ability to produce. But maybe if someone's watching this that has one of the skills, we can bring everyone together. Contact me. I'll bring the team together. We can make that video. It'd be super awesome.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this amazing spreadsheet that the guys of the Project Planets have put together. 3167 of them that we have registered. A couple new ones have come out in recent years with the Battletech game and stuff like that, new things being brought into canon. But it's pretty awesome. And for these ones, obviously the coordinates, but also just the ownership from the 2271 is the earliest year, all the way up to the 3150, 3145 recent years as well. So it's and most of these have some backstory written about them from somewhere in some source book. it's amazing.
I was trying to find, I think it was a couple months ago, I was trying to find what the most remote, other than the clan homeworlds in the clan area, what's the most inhabited planet out there? And there's too many options. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Well, it would be kind of interesting to see even per faction, maybe like what's its most remote satellite, how far out it goes. There's a really cool, and I can, you can share this link afterward. There's a cool map, interactive map, from Groose, where you can scroll around it basically and change how it looks and you know, all the things that you would want to do with an interactive map. And so that would be actually a good way to explore those types of questions.
Awesome. So what, you know, as a Sarna novice to a Sarna expert, what are some areas that that you kind of want people to know about that I wouldn't even know to ask a question about?
That's a good question. You know, well, I think one important thing too is there's just a lot of content on the site. It's changing all the time. We do on the front page list like a lot of the different directions that you can go, right? So there's a news section on the right hand side that kind of highlights latest things that are going on. Once a year, right now, we do a Founders Awards, which is where we kind of recognize people that have contributed to the site for the previous year. We've been doing that for, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years or so. And, you know, so there's awards for the best writer and editor and ambassador and stuff like that. So it's a good way to recognize people that have an ongoing contribution to the content. From there, there's everything from, you know, looking at all the factions that we were talking about, looking at all the different types of units. You can get into biographies of the actual people. We do try to list all canonical products that have actually been created. So not just in universe, but like actual physical things that you and I could buy. Right. In fact, I was hoping to chat with Robert a bit more, because I think he has a lot of things that we need to incorporate into the site as well and make sure that we list a little bit. One important thing is we try to shy away from fanon specifically for Sarna. So there are other wikis out there that are more inclusive for fan created content and stories and stuff like that. And certainly encourage you guys to do that. We're trying to keep most of the stuff on Sarna canonical. We do list some things that aren't necessarily like officially produced by a license, but are obviously inspired by BattleTech related things as well. But we try to keep everything as much as we can to be like officially have some sort of, you know, official status around it, just because we want to be truthful about what we're talking about. See, other than that, you know, I mean, it really is a fun game I play sometimes, honestly, just clicking that random page and seeing where it takes me. On the left-hand side, you know, a lot of the time you'll end up picking up planets because there's so many of them. You'll end up picking up TCG cards because we have articles for each of the cards. But, you know, it's a good way to just rabbit hole through the site at some point if you just, you know, want to spend an evening reading random things.
Awesome.
Yeah. One section that I have not given my attention as much that I would love to improve, and I've, you know, it's a task of mine to kind of update it and revamp it, is the download section. We've always had a pretty large cache content of older, at this point, it's a lot of older BattleTech related software designers and programs and early, you know, late 90s, early 2000s games. A lot of it you probably even need to run like on an emulator or like a VirtualBox type thing just to get it running at this point.
Right.
But we do have a lot of really cool like older stuff, like, you know, things that back in the golden era of, you know, creating shareware programs and stuff like that. There's a lot of cool things there. I haven't revamped that much lately, so I think I kind of need to go on a download spree and incorporating new new content that's been produced since then.
One of the things that I struggle with most is finding things through the search, you know, and so kind of the search is very sensitive to kind of what you're typing there. And so kind of any tips for kind of using that, you know, to kind of, you know, to refine searches and to kind of get where you're trying to go. If you don't know the exact name of it, it's very difficult to kind of find it.
Yeah. And that's very fair. You know, we use software called Sphinx to help with the search, but it's not perfect and I'm not Google. Right.
Yeah.
So that being said, sometimes, you know, the easiest way to search on Sarna is to go to Google and search Sarna and then whatever thing you're trying to try to search.
Interesting.
You know, I've had to do that sometimes too. You can start at the category page. Like if you know it's a unit or a planet that you're looking for, but you don't really know what, starting there, and then you can kind of narrow down. Often there's subcategories for a specific, compelling confederation planets or whatever you wanted to look for. If you're trying to find it, and maybe, you know, find it through the list.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, you can use some modifications for your searches. Like you can, you know, say negative a term to like make sure the article doesn't include something if you want to narrow it down, just like you would do with Google. But the search engine itself is good. It's not certainly not perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that kind of covers my kind of, you know, curiosity there, you know, at least kind of in this moment. You know, there's always more curiosity, but you know, I've had so much fun kind of using that resource. And so it's been cool kind of getting a little bit of insight into it.
And
hopefully letting people know how they can kind of contribute, you know, both in a content and in a kind of financial way if they want to kind of support that resource, you know. And, you know, I'll put it out there that, you know, as someone who kind of, you know, has Patreon, whatnot, you know, if people understand, if everyone just gives a dollar or two, it really makes no difference in your budget. But if, you know, literally everyone that watched Renegade HPG gave even 50 cents, a dollar a video or, you know, and same thing for you, gave the same, then they could. So, you know, try to kind of spur people. And I say this because my career has been based in nonprofit management. And so, you know, you figure that. But yeah, so that's our pitch, guys. You know, so, you know, support Sarna, support Renegade HPG, throw a dollar or two. It's a cup of coffee a month.
You know, it helps. Yeah. It's, you know, I do that through other websites as well, you know, just contributing a dollar here or there for the things that you use every day. It definitely helps the content creators.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to see, you know, it can continue to grow. And certainly with the Kickstarter coming out, there's a lot more,
so excited.
A lot more content to kind of throw on there, you know, maps included, you know, maps and source books. But yeah, well, awesome, Nick. I appreciate you kind of taking time and chatting and look forward to sharing this with you.
Absolutely. And if you don't mind, you know, the other thing I just want to drive home to is like, I'm the guy that's keeping the site running, but like, I'm not the guy that's creating content. There are so many amazing people that contribute, and without them, the website would not be what it is today. 100%. It is because of people taking their time and putting their passion into these articles, into small tweaks here or there, into, you know, building whole sections of the site, based on what they're passionate about and what they have, the time that they have. And I'm really, really appreciative of everybody that's visited, of everybody that's contributing, and just even, you know, the drive-by edits here or there, like it all helps. It really does. So thank you to everybody out there that's visited Sarna, and thank you to all the contributors.
Yeah. And where can people connect with you on social media? You know, that kind of little news feed that they can kind of get Sarna info as well.
Yeah. So on the upper right, we do have links to Twitter and Facebook. So all of the news posts go to those as well. If you need to contact me personally, on the bottom of the page, there's a contact Nick or contact administrator or something link, and that'll just send you to a form, and you can get a hold of me for any particular reason at all. Or through the article talk page or through the forums. There's a lot of different ways I monitor them all. Awesome. So love talking with the community. So please do.
Very cool. Yeah. And people can contact with Renegade HPG on Instagram, Twitter at Renegade HPG and Facebook. For some reason, Facebook won't let me register Renegade HPG. It says it's a term that I can't use.
Really?
So okay. I guess Renegade is controversial, though there's lots of other Renegades.
Interesting.
But, yeah. Just search Renegade HPG on Facebook. But awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and thanks Nick for chatting, and we'll go ahead and wrap there.
Thank you.
Definitely.